right. So I'm just going to pray for Don as he prepares to preach. He's timing himself. He's going to give us his best 35 minutes plus a landing. Yes. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the gift this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd bless him. Fill him with your Spirit, God, and that the words of life would come and do what only you can do through him, Lord. I pray for hearts to be open to receive and hearts that don't know you yet, God. Would you open those hearts and those eyes of faith this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning. It's coming. Okay, there. Good morning. Warming up. It's amazing to be together. So today, we will conclude the series that Dan started the last couple of weeks. The greatest preach you'll ever hear, which is Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're just going to conclude that today with the last stint. Are you guys ready? Let's go. Apologies. So imagine for a moment with me a world without any light. Okay? No light. The sun never shines. The stars never lit up the night sky. No lights. Just darkness. And this is your home. You were born into this darkness, into a crooked place, twisted shadows, lies, deceit, treacherous paths where the enemy is walking around looking whom he can devour. Are you guys with me? So this is your home. A world that has convinced itself that its darkness is normal, that its crookedness is straight, and that the wrongs are right. All this because of sin. But then the Bible says, just at the right time, God sent his Son, the one through whom the worlds were made, the one who created heaven and earth, the very creator of man and woman, the one who gives life and breath. He becomes flesh and he dwells amongst us in this dark place. And the word says, in him there was life. And that life was the very light of mankind. In him was life, and that life was the very light of mankind. And God loved that mankind. He loved the world so much that he sent his Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish in that darkness, but have eternal life. Praise God, Declan says. Come on. And he started calling men and women out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls you, he calls you, he calls you, he calls you, he calls me out of darkness into his light, into salvation. His plan, his initiative, by grace, saved by his name. And his name is Jesus. So now we're saved by his grace if we believe in him, if we receive him as our Savior, but also as our Lord. And not only are we saved, the Bible says, we are chosen. In other words, it's not just a number. Number one, number two, number three. No. We're chosen. Amen. By name. Each one of us. Loved, chosen. Which means there's no coincidence that anyone is sitting here. That's good news, guys. Good, I'm just saying. Chosen. But not only chosen, he calls us a royal priesthood. What does that mean? It's a good question. That means now you and I have direct access to the God of heaven and earth. We don't have to have another priest or the pastor or the dominee or the bishop come before us. We have direct access to the throne. Praise God. Another good news there. Shaka bum. Come on. God of heaven, we have direct access. But not only do we have direct access, he says we are a special possession with a, what we call, purpose. The Bible uses the word holy. In other words, that holy word means to be set apart for a purpose. Who uses a toothbrush to clean under his shoes? No. It's just got a special purpose. Keep the interior of the mouth clean. Hallelujah. So in that same way, we've got a purpose, each one of us, set apart, chosen. And that purpose is to firstly to walk with God, because he's our Father. Then it is to follow him and obey him, because he's our Lord. And then to walk for him, to shine a light now in this dark world that we live in. It's incredible. From the prayer reading right through till this morning, the Lord has been speaking a lot about shining his light, being walking in the Spirit. So I'm excited that the Lord wants to speak to us this morning about being the light of the world. Can we read Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 together? It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, like we put a lamp on a lampstand, in that same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Can we read that again? Verse 14. You are, say, I am. Okay, just put yourself in there. Okay. The light of the world, a city on, you don't have to say it again. You're welcome to say it. Hallelujah, go for it, hallelujah. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, okay? Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Come on, who does that? Kids do that for fun, and then usually it's problems. But nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Who remember load shedding days? Praise God. In the same way, not otherwise, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Come on. So Jesus is saying to us that these good works are not the means of our salvation, but the evidence of it. Okay? So those of you who come out of Catholic background, just to clarify that, or Hinduism, or any other religion, our good works now is an evidence of Jesus in us. Basically, Jesus is saying the believer's life will look a certain way, and it will be filled with good works. Who's getting excited? No one yet. Matthew, come on. For others, so in Jesus say it will be on a lamp. It will be visible for others, which in other meaning is not private. It's not secret. So we did look at the secret giving, the private life 2 weeks ago, private prayer. What do we do in our secret place? How do we fast privately? So we've got a private life. But now Jesus is unpacking, what does our visible life look like? So we're going to look the way that we treat our brothers, the way that we treat our marriages, our families, and the way that we treat our enemies. You guys will see as Jesus speaks through these things, as we unpack them this morning, we have a very public life. I suppose, hopefully, you guys get out of your homes. Who gets out of your home? Okay? Some of us not enough. I can see that. Okay, so the Lord is saying, let's get out, okay? It's for others to see, so that our lights can shine in a dark world. Each one of us to be like a lamp on a lampstand. So Lord, you can literally pray, Lord, make me a lamp. Let my light not be hidden. Let my light not be hidden. And then each one of us will dispel some portion of darkness in our area of influence. So you at your workplace, let's pull it back. First you in your secret place, because there's you. You've got some dark things you have to deal with. Dispel that darkness. Then you go into your home. Family, wives, kids. What you watch on TV, what you listen to on the... I almost said radio. Who listens to radio? What we listen to. Into the workplace, into our relationships, into our friendships. Dispel the darkness. It's our job. That's what the Lord wants to do through each one of us. Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul writes this and he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand." So God has prepared good works for you and me to walk in. Amen. That's good news. So you don't have to like figure it out. Don't worry. It's there. And we're going to see now how that unfolds in our daily lives. But it's going to be there. The Lord has gone ahead for us. He's prepared us for it. That's a good thing to just encourage yourself with. God has prepared us for this. He's even prepared the good work for you. That's good news. Like, I don't have to try to like figure this thing out. I can just trust him. I can follow him. But Jesus really unpacked the way our lives will shine like lights in a dark world with this first foundational thought that before he came, there was a law given to the people. I don't know if you guys have read some of the laws. Most of us know Exodus, I think 20, no? The Ten Commandments, but there was a lot more laws given to the people. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, no? You shall not blaspheme, you shall love the Lord your God, worship him alone, you shall not do all these things. So the law was given. And Jesus comes and he's in this environment in the Jewish community, and he says, "Guys, can I just quickly say, before I will show you what your lives will look like, I did not come to wipe away the law. I did not come to abolish the law." Now, for some of us, that might be a surprise. I thought I read Romans, we are no longer under the law. We are no longer under the law. We are in Christ. And in Christ, Jesus said, "I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Jesus is the very fulfillment of the law. The only one perfect, the only one holy, the only one in whom we have life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And Jesus said, "Now, if you love me, obey me." So I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And we on this mission with God to make disciples of nations, also on a mission to teach everyone to obey all that Jesus said, we are ensured that he will be with us till the very end. I want to say that his very presence is the life and the light that we carry. Therefore, we don't have to look at the law necessarily per se. Even though we look at it, we're like, "Hey, oh yeah, I shouldn't." It's good to remember, I shouldn't kill someone, you know? Because if you don't know it, you might kill someone. So there are these moral laws given, like there are currently, you guys have read the news. Some people are celebrating murder out there. But we understand that Jesus' very presence with us is our life and our very source of light. We want to be like Moses who said, "Lord, we don't want to go on without you." We want to be like David who said, "Lord, one thing I ask is that I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. I want to look unto you." Like Mary, when she broke her alabaster jar, Jesus said, "One thing she's chosen, and that's to be with me." So the presence of God is our life and our light. So as we look at these things that Jesus unpacks, remember that it's the life and the light of Jesus that burns within us. It's not our own effort. It's not our own power. It's not our own strength. It's the very life of Christ that give us light. The very life of Christ. So let's look at the good works God has prepared for us. I'm not going to read the scriptures because there are about 25 of them. So I'm just going to chat through them and then you guys can go read it again at home. But the first thing that Jesus looked at, he says, you have heard it said. So he says, pointing to the old laws, he said, you have heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you that everyone, listen to this, who is angry with his brother or sister will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, now we're all guilty, yeah? If you have got a sibling, you will know what I'm talking about, will be liable to the council even. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable, this is a hard one, to the hell of fire. Oh my goodness. Okay, but basically what Jesus is saying here, let's not have room for anger in our hearts towards our brothers and our sisters. Jesus actually redefines righteousness for us here. Old covenant, Old Testament righteousness was, okay, I have not murdered, I am righteous. Jesus is kicking it up a notch here into basically the realm of the impossible, saying, hey, even if you have anger towards your brother in your heart, if you call him you fool. So, but Jesus is not just saying it's about the external actions. He's starting to point to the conditions of our heart. That true righteousness involves inner transformation. And we're going to see now why is this such an important thing in the scriptures. The NLT, can we read Ephesians 4, 26, 27? Paul says, and he says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Why? For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If I make room in my heart, and I want us to think about it from the room we give in our hearts for anger, which always leads to bitterness, offenses, distance towards our brother. If we make room for that, basically what we're doing is we're opening a little door for the devil. Now the devil puts in his foot like this, bloops. Now he's in. So basically what Jesus is saying, let's close the door on anger. And in that same way, close the door on the enemy. Let's not, and he says, do not let the sun go down. Basically what he's saying is, daily, deal with the way that you feel and that you think about your brother and your sister. Daily. So if I've got a feeling in my heart of, let's just call it that. You guys know that feeling? Towards Nick. Paul is writing, he says, don't let the sun go down on that feeling. Because it can give foothold to the devil. I need to come before the Lord. Freely I have received forgiveness, so freely I'm going to forgive Nick. Often I realized later that Nick was never at fault. It was my own things. Sounds right, Nick says. Hallelujah. It was anyway my fault all along. So I can just as well let go. The whole point, guys, the whole point. Listen to this. Jesus takes it even further. He says, if you come to the place of worship. Now, this is here, okay? This is here. And sometimes that place of worship might be a Wednesday night. It might be even your own room. Listen what he says. And if you come to that place and you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, go sort it out. What? He has something against me. Yes. Go sort it out. Jesus says, before you come and worship, ensure your relationships are right. Reconcile, make peace, forgive. Then come worship. Because what can we do now? We've got to open. That's a good word, the openness. We free from, because you know what, if we don't have that, what are we carrying? We're carrying the Now I want to worship Jesus and I want to enjoy Jesus, but now I'm oh Nick man, yes. That guy, Father Christmas. Yes. I like But now I'm not hearing the Lord, firstly. I'm not enjoying the Lord. And I'm not enjoying Nick anymore. Now I'm grumpy. And what happens when we're grumpy? We get ugly. Thanks. Some of you get ugly, yes. I also get ugly. We get ugly, we get grumpy with our wives, our kids have to suffer. The poor guy at work is wondering, what did he eat for breakfast? And all we need to do is come before the Lord daily. And Lord, I'm feeling this. I give it to you. As simple as that. Let's not make room in our hearts for anger or insults in our hearts or our minds towards a brother and a sister. Amen. Amen. So that's like the first one. Second one, Jesus said, is you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But Jesus is, so here Jesus is saying, have no room for lust in our hearts. But I say to you that everyone who even looks at a woman, now adultery, guys, quick, hold on, what is adultery? It's either marital infidelity or sexual activity outside of the marriage vow. Okay, so if you're married and there's outside of that, or if you're not married and you're having sexual activity, that will be adultery. You guys are right with that? Children, it's good to learn from a young age. We have to learn from a young age. So he says, do not commit adultery, but now he's saying, not only physical, listen, but I say to you that everyone who even looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in her heart. In his heart, sorry. Again, Jesus is picking up the notch. He's saying, yo, you think the law was hard. I'm going to lift you up to my standards. I'm going to lift you up to a holy lifestyle where even in the intentions of our hearts, we're going to say no to adultery, no to lust, yes to purity, yes to the way of Jesus. You guys feel that? Jesus is being clear. He calls us for vigilance over our thoughts and our desires and into a place of cultivating purity in our inner lives. It costs work. It's work. It's a labor of love towards ourselves. Saying yes to purity, saying no to adultery. James 1 verse 14, this is the brother of Jesus, actually writes, he says, just warning us, he says, temptation comes from our own desires. What? I thought it comes from Instagram. No. Our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Yes, there is something on your phone, or on the TV, or in the window, or on the beach. But it's our own desires, getting into our own hearts again and saying, Lord, I want to cultivate a single-minded devotion for purity, for holiness, for you, Lord Jesus. So how do we cultivate pure hearts? I want to give us just quick four tips on how to set our desire and our love on Jesus Christ. Amen. The first one is just, and we actually looked at this in the last couple of weeks. First one is prayer. When you pray, go into your room, get before the throne of God, get to know God, ask the Lord, petition. The Lord should say, ask and you will receive. If you're struggling with something, get before the Lord, pray so that the peace of the Lord can fill your heart and your mind. First one is prayer. The second one is fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, don't be all gloomy and doomy. Practice joyful surrender in your fasting. So as a church, a bunch of us fast actually every Thursday. If you guys want to join us, let's do it. Fasting. Fasting is one of the best ways to practice saying no to our flesh and saying yes to the Spirit. Very simply. Amen? So that's fasting. Third one is to renew our minds with the very Word of God, with the truth of God. Reading the Word. Listening to not just anything, but good teaching, and reading the Word, read the Word, listen to the Word. I love audio Bibles because you can actually listen to God's Word. Praise God. And the fourth one is Paul writes and he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You can pray all you want, because that you can read your Bible, but then, now that we are in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's an actual person. We walk with the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit leads us. You open your phone. You're seeing something. You're like, oh, the Spirit is saying, oh, let's delete that. Or let's, like Will Murray, if you guys know him, he always said, the problem is not the first look. The problem is the second look. Choosing purity, choosing Jesus, walking with the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to gently lead us. And it's going to be a gentle leading. I just want to say, he's not going to like take your arm, wrestle you down. So let's not have room for lust in our hearts and our minds. Third one is to uphold marriage. Uphold marriage. I want to quickly say something about marriage. Jesus says that you have heard it said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her to commit adultery. We want to uphold marriage. We want to uphold the sanctity of marriage, strive for unity, dwelling in understanding, reconciliation, forgiveness, leaning 100% on the love and the commitment of Jesus. That our love, as in my marriage with Sammy, our love and our commitment is based on the love and commitment of Jesus. So I just want a quick encouragement to all married couples. Love one another. Serve one another. Pray together. Fast together. Laugh together. Have fun together. Cry together. Eat together, walk together, sleep together. It's important. Enjoy one another. For God hates divorce. That's what the Bible says. And in that way, we will uphold the picture that God had for marriage. Amen. Amen. The next one is, Jesus very simply said, let your yes be your yes, and your no be your no. He said, don't take oaths at all. You can read that in verse 33 to 37 in Matthew 5. Don't swear by anything. Let your word be your word, and let what you say be simply yes or no. And Jesus said, for anything more than this is actually from the evil one. If our yes can't just simply be yes and our no's can't be no's, walking that narrow road with Jesus, everything else, everything more is from the evil one. Amen. And when we're all going to fail sometimes, we're all going to say, make over-promise or under-promise, we said yes, we fail, just repent, apologize, fix the relationship, keep loving Jesus. Amen. The next one is to turn the other cheek. This is a good one. Hey, guys, who likes to turn the other cheek? All the men go like, whoa. Hey, yes, come on. So this is quite a crazy one because Jesus goes like, you've heard it said, and this was literally the way they did it. Who loves Old Testament stories? David killing people, yeah, Goliath is falling. And it's like you just have the most of men, we want to be wild, eh? Most of us, I know one guy who doesn't like to kill things. I know at least two guys, now that I look around. But the rest of us are like, there's something wild in our hearts that wants to go shoot something, break something, yes, bolt something. But Jesus says, listen to this, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye, but I say to you, when someone smacks you, turn the other cheek. My goodness, who's saying yes? No, he's got a low response here. Come on, guys. Come on. This is Jesus speaking. I didn't think this out. He said, in that way, listen to this. In that, if we do these things, our good works of turning the other cheek embodies the values of humility, of patience, of love, and even towards our enemies. They can see that and know, okay, whoa. There's something greater at play than just a man. There's a God in heaven, and he's full of mercy. You literally embody the mercy of God when you turn the other cheek. Showing love, showing patience, showing humility. We're showing them the mercy of God. So we want to actually say, Lord, transform our hearts that we are willing to show that mercy. Another thing that Jesus said, if someone wants to sue you and take your shirt, I don't know who sues anyone for a shirt, but okay. Shirts were expensive back in the day. So they didn't have, remember, we got wardrobes nowadays. Back in the day, they, as I understand it, not much. Let him even take the cloak, your cloak as well. Jesus is inviting us into a generous, merciful lifestyle. Generous, where we give more than what is even legally demanded from us. He's talking about a suing, eh? So can I add here, just, I know this is a bit radical, but God is going to give you opportunities. He's prepared you for this. And some of you guys have been merciful. I mean, like, I've heard some stories of guys in this room writing off money owed. Forgiving, letting go. I want to say, keep going. Let's be generous, but in it, also be wise. Jesus said when he sent his disciples out, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Be accountable in these matters. Sometimes you get people who still take chances. You get that as well. So maybe be accountable. If you feel something is off, this guy's going to take your house now. Don't just give your house away. Okay, just a bit of wisdom. Chat to Nick. He's a super wise guy. I've got Eric on that side from both flanks. You're covered, guys. And then the last one. Good work, number 6, is to love your enemies. I almost want to ask who of you got enemies. That's verse 43 to 47. I'm not going to put it up. But Jesus said, love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They were allowed to hate their enemies back in the day. Because they, remember, reverse a bit, they killed one another. Now Jesus is coming, showing a better way, a higher way. He says, love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for our enemies. We don't only pray for them, Lord, save them, da-da-da-da-da. When we pray, what we're actually doing, we're aligning our hearts with the very will of God. So don't just pray, Lord, get them. Yeah, get them, Lord. No. Say, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know, we had a dog when we grew up, and it was like, when there's someone dodgy at the front gate, you're always going to go like, get them. Not like that, guys. Not like that. What not to do? We want to say, Lord, what's your will? Oh, yes, you're the merciful God, the slow to anger God, the loving God. I'm going to pray for my enemies. Jesus showed us this way when he was hanging on the cross, and he said, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I mean, like, if you had coffee with someone, and that person is convinced that that guy was doing something against him, he's very aware of what he wants to do it against them. We tend to think that people want to hurt us. But love believes the best. It really believes the best. Oh, that most people don't want to hurt you. I just want to say that. Most people do not want to hurt you. And some of us have got lots of hurt. Nah? Don't put up your hand. You're welcome to, amen, brother. But some of us have got a lot. Most of us have gone through enough life to have been disappointed, hurt, backstabbed, slandered. Yep. Jesus said, pray for them, love them, forgive them. Stephen, in Acts, I think 7, the first martyr in Scripture. He gets executed by throwing stones on him, and he says, Again, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He looked up into heaven. He looked up into heaven. And there's something in there for each one of us. We need to live with our eyes towards heaven. Our eyes fixed on the throne of Jesus, the merciful one, the loving one, the gracious one. My mom struggled with forgiveness and most love. She got kids. I mean, like, my parents were separated. We got taken away by the court. So my mom struggled for 30 years to forgive. 30 years. From 1985 to 2015, 16, 17. And then one day, over a coffee, I said, Mom, you need to forgive. Jesus forgave you. You need to forgive. At the age of 57, she finally forgave my, not that it was his fault, but you know, that's usually how it works. There's problems, there's divorce. Who are you going to be upset with? The other guy. So my mom forgave. And it's amazing what happened that last 3 years in her life. Suddenly there was light. Suddenly she could focus on her own life again. Suddenly her journals, when she passed away in 2020, I read through her last 10 years of journals. Darkness, darkness, darkness. Forgiveness, light, light, light. Amen. Don't wait till you're 57, for the young people. Those of you who are 57, let's keep running. I don't know who's 57. But let's not wait to forgive. Can we stand together? Can we get Sharnay, can you get on the keyboard a bit? Brandon, you want to jump on a guitar? I just want to call you Brandon the whole time. Sorry, man. We love you. We love you so much. Yes. Jesus ends this chapter. We can read this verse together, 48. This is another ridiculous, almost outrageous verse in the Bible. So now you, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We've looked at the way that we allow our hearts, we know no room for anger in our hearts. The way that we say no to immorality, to adultery, to sexual impurities, how we uphold marriage again, uphold family again, the very foundation of communities, the way that we think about one another, the way that we think about even our enemies. Jesus says now, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's asking for a yes, so that we can allow the very perfections of our Heavenly Father to shine through us. That's basically what he says. As we say yes to mercy, we allow the perfect Father to shine through us. His perfect love, his perfect patience, instead of our own anger, insults, or bitterness. Shining through his love, to shine his perfect holiness instead of our own lusts or adultery, his perfect grace, his perfect mercy instead of our own unforgiveness, his perfect truth instead of our own many words or our own unfaithfulness or doubtfulness, his perfect humility instead of our own pride, our own vengeance, our own justice, our own eye for eye mentality, his perfect humility. Lord, we want to say yes to your perfect nature to come and shine through us. You are the very light within us. You are the way, Lord. You are the truth. You are the life. We want our lives to shine your perfect ways instead of our ways. Lord, we want to live with our eyes fixed on the throne of heaven. We want to be quick to forgive, quick to be merciful, quick to love, quick to be gracious, and slow to be angry. closing the door on the enemy, Lord. Even today, can we just for a moment just come before the Lord and say, Lord, set a fire in my heart. Your perfect flame of love, of mercy. Your perfect flame of love and mercy, of graciousness, of forgiveness. Oh, Lord. Before we pray together, before we just take a couple of moments to allow the Lord to set that flame in our hearts so that we can go out as lights in this world. Are you guys alright? Can we just take like 10, 15 minutes? Just come before the Lord. Settle whatever the Lord spoke to you about today. It might be the anger thing. It might you need to forgive someone. Let's just settle in our hearts and our minds that we want to be a people who go out and so shine before others that they will actually look at your life and go like, wow, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. If you realize whatever it is that in your heart, even if it's just that you don't have words, come, can we just maybe come to the front, get out of our seats for a moment, come before the Lord, posture our hearts. I want to read Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, over us, actually. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we just want to take a couple of moments this morning and give you our hearts. We want to give you our hearts. Spirit and truth. Lord, we want to say there's no room for anger in this heart. Lord, forgive us for allowing anger. Forgive us for allowing insults against our brothers and sisters. Forgive us for allowing gossip into our hearts and our minds. But we repent. We say, sorry, Lord. We want to close the door on the devil. We want to close the door on anger and insults and division. More than lust. We want to say there's no room for lust in our lives. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lord, we want to say there's no room for lust in our lives. The Bible says that the flesh, it wars against our soul. Lord, and as we choose a lifestyle of prayer, of fasting, spending time in your word, getting before your throne, Lord, and walking in the Spirit, we want to say no to anything else. No to the impurities that want to come against us. Sin is crouching at the door, Lord, but we want to say yes to you. Lord, I pray this morning that our eyes will be fixed on you. Lord, I actually pray that you will deliver some of us this morning from lust. Bring deliverance. In your powerful name, Jesus. Oh Lord, by your Spirit, bring deliverance. Deliver us from evil. If that's you, you want to be delivered from lust, they say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from lust. I open my heart to you. Lord, in our marriages then, we welcome you into our marriages, into our homes. Let us love one another beautifully. Lord, in our words, in our speech, let our yes be our yes, and our no be our no. Lord, and give us a radical love even for our enemies. A willingness to turn the other cheek, Lord. A willingness to say, Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, ultimately, you want to see others saved and locked and brought into your light. So I pray that we will love, that we will love, Lord. Our lives will be available to be used. Sometimes, guys, I want to say, sometimes the Lord will use your suffering and use your pain to bring others in. Lord, give us courage. Give us courage, Lord. Give us a boldness to shine bright. I want to pray Isaiah 6 over us. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth. Yes, thick darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh Lord, let us arise and shine. Let us arise and shine as we bow low before your throne, as we live before your throne.